All right, everyone. Welcome to the Key Value Retail Technology Podcast. It's great to be back, and I have an absolute fantastic guest here today with me, my old friend, Eric Prengel. Eric is an absolute expert when it comes to fashion retail business, and I'm really happy to have him here today to discuss fashion trends. So, Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Christoph. It's been a while. How are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Thanks. A lot of rain over here in Germany, but, you know, hanging in there. So great to have you back. Yeah, Eric, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and why you are actually an expert in the fashion retail business?
Yes. Expert's a loaded word, but thank you. I appreciate the compliment. Yeah, it's been, you know, quite a long career so far, and it continues on now. I'm originally from Montreal, Canada. Spent probably, you know, the first 10, 15 years of my career there working for brands, working for retailers, brands like Mex, which I'm sure a lot of your client base will know pretty well. Worked for a retailer called Aldo Shoes, a whole bunch of different people in Canada. Immigrated in late 1990s, 2000 to the US, located in the Metro New York area, and worked for retailers such as J. Crew, and then brands like Ralph Lauren, Kenneth Cole, Not Your Daughter's Jeans, Marc Ecko, Ecko Unlimited. So, you know, a pretty broad experience when it comes to retail, wholesale brands, multi-channel, you know, product brands, always in the branded arena. And I've worked kind of in many different roles across the supply chain in my career. So, I'm very involved in technology and how it can be used within the retail arena, and obviously continuing that now with some of the new things that I'm working on that I know we're going to discuss today, such as N-Style.
Absolutely, yeah,
N-Style. So excited to share a little bit about that.
Absolutely fantastic, yeah. So, I mean... very impressive, you know, expertise and let's say, you know, decades of experience you bring to the table. And yeah, we met each other a long time ago. I don't know, probably 8 years ago or something like that in New York. And, you know, I've always valued you as someone, as you said, that has the fashion expertise, you know, from brands, but at the same time also understands the technology that can support that fashion and retail business there. So, you know, I'm really excited to hear more about, and you already mentioned it, N-Style. So N-Style is a new name out there, right? It's a startup. And if I go to your website, it kind of says it N-Style changes the way you see fashion trends, right? So it's all evolving around fashion trends. And obviously that's a big word. So maybe you can explain a little bit what your actual mission is at N-Style and what you're trying to achieve, what kind of value you're trying to bring to the users or the customers of N-Style.
Yeah, sure. It's actually really, really exciting. And yeah, I know you mentioned about technology and the bridge to the fashion user. I think it's really important to state, you know, that is, I believe, a gap. And we've talked about it, right? Especially with your background in, you know, technology and system integration and all of those projects that you've done over the years. I think, you know, we've discussed that there's a huge gap between users adopting technology in the fashion industry and technology actually being useful to the fashion industry, right? And throughout my career, there's been an evolution of that in different places, and there's examples of it working well and examples of it not working well. Inventory planning, anything to do with numbers and so on, generally there's been pretty strong evolution, but in other areas there aren't, because you've got an industry that is half creative, if not more than half creative. And then, you know, the other side, which is analytical, right brain type of, you know, essence, yeah. Right? So it's really hard to cross the two. When I was approached by my partner, Anton, with regards to an idea he had, and he came to me kind of because of the experience that I had in the industry on the operating side, right? We started a discussion, and to get to kind of the mission, I would say it started with our mutual understanding of the planning arena in the space. Okay. So all of the different things that you can do with technology to help planning. So it was based around, you know, markdown optimization to a point, you know, SKU rationalization, things like that, right? Line planning to make it easy. But his idea really had kind of the essence of bringing technology, okay, and kind of trend identification or consumer insights to help with kind of like an improvement in excess inventory. And if there's anything that apparel is, you know, the most troublesome for and wasteful for, or one of the most wasteful industries out there, is the amount of inventory that doesn't get sold, right? So long story short, the only thing that we did when we started talking about his idea was we moved the goalposts a little bit, and we made it, you know, the conversation became, okay, so that's great. We can affect these kind of areas, but where the planning takes place is kind of in the middle of the journey while you're producing goods and you're ordering goods. So we discussed, why don't we take it a little bit even further and help creatives, you know, earlier in the process to identify and score trends. So really what we're doing is we're, you know, to make it simple, we're taking consumer insights, all right, and validating them at the time of creation, okay? And I won't get into all the details of product creation and how that gets done, right? But we bring consumer validation to the trend and score it to basically score volatility and risk, okay? And as well, score the trend. And, you know, we got very excited about, the more we delved into it, the more we started to see indicators that we could really, really validate and score these trends and help the industry reduce waste from a different perspective, using technology, not taking away anything to do with creativity. We want to give them more creativity, but kind of validate their gut instincts when they create the product, that the consumer has interest in that product being created. So really, we're a trend navigation solution, and that's what we're trying to do.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that sounds pretty exciting. I mean, also in my career, for the last 20 years, there was always this challenge to get rid of like the excessive inventory, right? So everybody talked about markdowns, right? How do you make sure you sell all your inventory before the season ends? I mean, especially when we talk about seasonal merchandise. But in the end, the waste is already happening there, right? You already produced, you already had the supply chain going, and now you're saying, why don't we, you know, go all the way to the front of that process and make sure that the decisions that are made at the design level and the creation level are made in a way in order to don't even create that, yeah, that inventory that you then have to mark down, that you have to get rid of, right? So it's a great approach, that's for sure. And I mean, there are aspects where you address this with some kind of range and assortment planning, right? You try to do this, but we all know it's very difficult. And most of the time, I mean, if we look back at you know, at very sophisticated assortment plans and stuff like that, everything is based pretty much just on historic data of that specific company that is doing the assortment planning. So what you're pretty much doing is you're just kind of mimicking, you know, what you did in the past, and then you try to do better, right, because of your experience. But you're saying we're taking this to the next step. We're looking at the trends that come from the consumers. So, you know, we can talk about where those actual information comes from, but you're not looking at any info, or not only at looking at information that comes out of that organization, that brand, but also, you know, what comes from the actual potential customers and clients. So very interesting.
Absolutely. It's about, and yeah, it's interesting because, again, line planning and everything, you know, what they call range planning in Europe, there's gaps in all of this terminology. You know, we use the word merchandising very loosely in the industry. Another conversation for another podcast. But it's about, you know, we recommend, right? We're not telling anybody what to do. That still is up to the creatives. That's up to the brands, because it has to be, you know, company culture comes from brand creation, right? Okay. It comes from how you create product, how you develop product, and how you take product to market. And yes, there are trends that tend to be dictated by the industry, right? Runway show that then gets adopted by the design team, that then gets adopted by the customer, and you show up at a store and, okay, you've got polka dots, for instance. Okay, that's the trend. Last year it was printed flowers, and the year before that it was stripes. Okay, you know, some of those are kind of dictated, you know. Then you've got trends that are kind of pulled by the market themselves, right? Where like a trend will start. So think about streetwear. You know, streetwear is one of those parts of the business that evolves from people in the street doing stuff, and within their lives, you know, trends can be created, right? But those are kind of the ways trends get adopted. The issue is, you know, without having, if you think about the timeline, just to give anybody an example, when you start creation, okay, and as you said, by the time you get to a place where you can review if something was good or not, okay, they call it hindsighting in the industry, right? Okay, it's 15 months later at best. If you were doing fabric creation, it could be 3 years, okay? That's how all this product ends up in the desert, or, you know, we all heard about very, very famous brands burning product. It was publicized all over the world. So we're taking a different approach, and we're using publicly available data, okay, and generative AI to basically help us to identify trends, validate the trends, as you said, validate competition. So there's so many ways and so many analyses that we can do, okay, to help validate the trends. And we're working with a bunch of folks right now, early adopters in the creative space, that, you know, just to name a few in terms of ideas, they're like, when they saw us take them through kind of our demo, and, you know, we don't have a fully built UI yet. But we took them through the demo. They're like, oh my God, would this have saved time? Think about just in terms of collaboration and breaking down the silos within an organization. So, you know, it would have been great if I would have had this information on a men's jogger that I was too early with the design. Heard that one. Yeah. It would have been great if I had this ability to prove with facts, okay, with index scores, that an idea I have or a trend that's coming is valid. We would have saved 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks of negotiation, because internally you have to understand there's a big negotiation between creatives and what they want to commercially bring to market, and merchants and buyers, and there's a whole process. So it's really exciting, and we're excited to share it with the market. as soon as possible.
Yeah, sounds great. I mean, let's get down to like one specific use case to kind of also explain to the listeners, you know, and viewers what exactly we're talking about. So you mentioned polka dots, right? Polka dot dresses. You know, there's a brand, and the brand clearly is thinking about the next summer season, and there's designers, and they need to make a decision, you know, do I want to design a polka dot dress for next summer, spring, summer season, right? So they obviously look at, you know, how has polka dots performed last year? Also maybe are there any trend signals that they are aware of? You know, they saw it in some fashion shows, some celebrities or influencers are wearing polka dots right now. I mean, they're probably looking at these individual, let's say, trend, what's the right word for it? Like implications, right?
Trend reports.
They do that, but it's all in the end, and I'm not a designer, so I'm just assuming, but you know, it's kind of a feeling, like a gut feeling, like, okay, it sounds like there's enough trend implications for polka dots for next spring, summer. I now make a gut feeling decision, you know, let's create one, let's design one. Now let's make sure it's negotiated and hopefully, you know, that that designer thinks it's going to be added to the assortment for next spring, summer. That's probably how it happens today. Is that correct or is this incorrect?
Yeah, I mean, so to give you a couple real examples, and the reason I picked up polka dots, right, that's one that we just did and analyzed, mm-hmm. and, you know, happy to share it with you at a later time, but I'll give you an essence of what that is. So if you think about it, I said to you before, the trends sometimes are dictated by the industry, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So polka dots end up on the runway. Right.
Yep.
And an analyst that, you know, reputable, knows the business. They're the ones that go, they follow all the shows that they go and they do a trend report. Right. And whether they write for a big magazine or they have a personal blog, whatever it is, they're known. Right. So they see this trend, the trends on the runway. They make a statement that based on X amount of runway shows is what I'm seeing. So here's the trend, right? And there's a lot of trend services out there that do that. I'm simplifying what they do. They do a lot of obviously groundwork and everything you said and social listening and all of those things. They have teams and teams and teams of people that basically analyze this to vet that it's a trend, right? But a runway trend or a dictated trend by the industry, okay, doesn't mean that the consumer is ultimately going to adopt it. So we just identified from the get-go, a designer hasn't even created one polka dot dress or blouse or, you know, they haven't done any of that yet. They're just thinking about it, right? Yes, when I say a designer. Maybe a runway designer did it, but it's for something that's a year. And remember, runway is a very different thing. High-end mm-hmm. luxury runway, okay, yes. is a whole different world than commercial, right? And commercial brands that we know and love in the industry. So that gets adopted, but they have no idea whether this is actually something that is of interest to the market or not. Now, it doesn't mean you wouldn't design something like that, because you might, okay? But if we can validate whether the trend, which is what we did, right? And what we noticed there was it's not a trend that somebody is really looking for, okay? Mm-hmm. Meaning it really is a dictated trend by the industry. So be cautious when you're going to do it. And most people don't design a whole line of polka dots. Okay, a whole line of stripes when there's a trend. They adopt it. They have solids. They have all these different things, but they want the big message to be polka dots. Okay, so we also validated against competition and so on, and that's how we do the scoring. Okay, but I'll give you another quick example. A designer, one of the early adopters, asked us, this is great, I have a hunch that skinny denim is coming back. Okay. Can you give me some validation so I can go to my merchandising teams, you know, the owner of the business, so on and so forth, with this idea that this is what I'm seeing from my travels around Europe and, you know, wherever they go to do their, you know, kind of competitive shopping and inspiration work that they, you know, typical designers do. And so we went and validated it, and we validated it first for all genders, saw some really interesting indications. And then when we broke out women and men, we saw an even stronger indication to validate that absolutely skinny never really went away. Okay. Mm-hmm. And remember, there's versions of skinny, okay, from the most extreme, you know, ankle legging to a straight leg to a wide leg. And there's all kinds of fits in between in denim. So we validated it, and, you know, we saw the fact that, like, skinny's a force. It's not even a trend. And what we've come to understand is commercial trends typically tend to be 2 to 3 years in term. So that's a good, you know, a good kind of barometer when you're looking at it. Because remember, trend identification from our end isn't only to identify a trend that's coming that will either be a fad, imagine it's just like polka dots, right? Or a fit, which is more of a trend, right? Say 3 years, okay? It's also about knowing when a commercial trend is gonna end. So we don't only help with consumer insight in the early stage of product creation, we also help in identifying when a trend is post-peak, so it's plateaued, it's post-peak. So we're not telling you to stop selling it, but our recommendation is be aware, maybe don't have as many SKUs, so on and so forth, because excess, if you ride a good trend too long, you will end up with excess inventory with nowhere to go and no markdown, you know, so we address it on both sides. But there's a couple of use cases that, again, be happy to share with, you know, you and your listeners, I mean, at a later date if, you know, it's of any interest.
Absolutely. I mean, you said one thing I think we should deep dive a little bit more into. You said, okay, skinny jeans, right? And obviously you differentiate between men and women. That's a very obvious differentiation here. But at the same point, obviously, if we talk about skinny jeans, we do have, you know, the global local aspect too, right? So skinny jeans in Italy might be the hippest thing, you know, next summer, but not probably, I don't know, down in Texas or something like that, right? So I'm just trying to understand. It's probably another dimension you need to look at very detailed in order to make sure you make the right predictions when it comes to trends in connection with locality.
Absolutely, right? And again, kind of like to kind of give people an idea, we're using all publicly available data, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, our data science that's helping us develop these trend scoring indexes and so on, right? You can do it locally depending on the data available. Again, you know, there are certain areas of the market that have more data available than other areas of the market. So if you think about what you just said, North America, even North America versus anywhere else, okay, have consumed a lot more data and operate using the web and e-commerce in their daily lives, even more so than Europe. Western Europe, you know, there's good pockets of data in certain areas, but, you know, there's other parts of Europe that aren't. Asia, same thing. You know, you have to have access, okay, to that type of thing. But where we can localize and give those ideas, we absolutely do. And it's funny you bring me all the way back to You know, when I worked at Kenneth Cole, this is such a true story. When I first moved to New York, Kenneth Cole Menswear was one of the hottest brands out there at the time, and we were trying to sell men's capri pants. Okay, so you know what capris are for the
I
for
mean, you
okay,
see your
they're
ankle,
below the
right? That's like
knee.
the, yeah,
Yeah,
below the knee
below the
cut. Yeah.
knee, above the calf, or hit right on the calf, right? Women wear them a lot, right? So on. Well, guess what? We tried and we couldn't sell. It was the worst selling. It's a perfect example that you bring it up. Okay. We couldn't sell them. We couldn't get retailer. We tried. We put them in. We gave them to the consumer. But would we have loved our head designer was obviously Kenneth Cole. We had a merchandiser that was a men's expert. Okay, but would we not have what love to have data that said, yeah, this works in Italy. It does not work anywhere in North America. Okay. And even to this day, you don't see it. It's very, very rare. So there's a perfect example of a trend that is so affected by regionality and geographic and culture and so on. So, you know, the thing that's really cool about it is all of these different pieces play into our analysis, okay, that you know, then allows us to score. And ultimately, you know, we're trying to work on a UI, right, that's going to engage with the design community and the merchandising community, okay, to let them use this information. And our, you know, our data science is going to learn from their queries. So we're going to try to amass, you know, as many followers as possible to help us inform our trend signals, okay? And let just to give you an example, we today have probably about 1,000 trend signals. We're probably monitoring in the mid-20s, 25 to 26, and we keep adding to different media. You know, we're working on bringing social listening into our, you know, into our trend signal identification. And you know, our data science is absolutely now learning and identifying trends across media, you know, consumer insights on its own. It's very, very cool stuff that we're working on.
Oh, yeah. I
And
mean,
what gets me really excited is the collaboration between technology to just inform the creative. Like, you don't see that in the industry, and I think we're really unlocking something that's amazing and going to be very helpful in the long term.
Wow. So, I mean, you're saying there's more than 1,000 trend signals, and a trend signal, as you said, is some kind of information that's publicly available. You know, either it comes from Google searches, it comes from trend platforms, it comes from media. You're putting all of this together, and you know, then with the help of AI, you create those trend predictions, right? Trend forecasts. And my point is, if I am a brand, if I have I'm a designer and a brand, and I want to use your service. As I understand, I don't have to bring anything to the table. I don't have to bring any own data to the table, like historic sales data or master data from the company, right? It's that's not, I mean, that's what it used to be, right? As soon as you look in the past, and when I think about data science projects, you know, you always said, okay, the data science and the AI is only as good as the data that you can provide in order to feed it. Here we're talking about a different, totally different topic, right? So, is correct what I'm saying here?
Absolutely. So again, and we've known each other for quite a while, and you know my background in planning and inventory management, right? And
Yes.
it, you know, the hardest thing for planning to do across the years, right? As you said, planning and analytics, even predictive analytics. The hardest thing to do is you, as you said earlier in the call, it's using historical data. Okay, all these analytics companies, and bravo to them, Where do they get started? They get started in pricing. Okay. And why? Because it's data. Now they're all going into planning. Why? Because it's data. But the interesting thing, and you know, from my perspective, I haven't seen many that actually know how to deal with seasonal product. They'll say they do. I'd love to have a conversation with any of them, as I do on a regular basis, on explain to me exactly how you're saying this year's stripe shirt is going to be last year's pink floral shirt in your assortment. Okay. And I being from the planning area of the industry, right? I don't know how you do that. I'm not sure. They'll talk attribution. They put some things to it, but it's all historical data. We're actually, you know, talking today with an analytics company that got a preview of what we're doing with N-Style, and they believe that N-Style can help them inform their forecasts from being purely historical, forward-looking, of course, based on all the great things like stockouts and so forth, but we can validate it even further with consumer insight. So, you know, I would say to you this, yes, you're right. We can operate regardless of anybody's question, anybody's interest, anybody's, you know, inspiration, right? We can absolutely produce perspectives on that and scoring on that. We do see an avenue where using historical data plus our solution, okay, can also enhance that even greater. So, you know, stay tuned to this collaboration that we're working with this analytics company. But, you know, I am really, really excited because these guys are pros in the analytics space. And they see a value in what we're bringing that is different to what they bring. And there's a real, you know, opportunity to change the way kind of data science is used, you know, AI, generative AI within the industry. And, you know, you have to understand the creative process to do this. You can't do it. So a lot of what you hear as well, and I know I'm veering off a little bit, but AI in the creative space is really done for what? Facilitate sketching or drawing, right? Facilitate mood boards from a Pinterest perspective, right? So they are good tools because those tools are actually helping a designer do their job and be more creative. But ours is a completely different view. It's about validating that the styles that are being created are going to have consumer interest and competitors' interest. You know what I mean? Or you differentiation, however you want to look at it. So yeah, you're right. We can do it with or without historical data from a client.
Okay, very exciting, but I understand. Yeah, I mean, obviously bringing historical and known data to the table can even further increase the value, you know, of the outcome of that solution. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Understand. Yep. I mean, very exciting. You know, I think we already gave our audience a great, let's say, overview of what N-Style is trying to achieve and is already achieving today. But I mean, you're still, let's say, a very new organization, new company, right? New startup. So if there is any brands out there or retailers out there and they want to work with you, you know, how can they approach you and, you know, can they be part of the game, from the beginning? What's the deal here?
Absolutely. So, you know, how they can approach us is they can approach us through any avenue that is going to get them access to us. We've got obviously we've got a LinkedIn page. They can reach out to us via that. You know, we have our website that frankly is going to be completely redone. Very, very soon. Why? Because of the migration from kind of just the planning end of it to a more creative end of it. So that is going to be up and that website's already up and running, but it doesn't have all the information we've kind of discussed today in the evolution, because that was our first iteration of the website. they can obviously, you know, hopefully come through partners of ours like Key Value. Okay.
Sure.
Which is super, you know, obviously any avenue to get to us is welcome. But, you know, look, we're a new company, and we're looking for early adopters and people to kind of be involved in our journey of making this a tool that is something that really helps, you know, with the end game of improving inventory access, you know, and a lot of the creatives that have gotten engaged in it are so excited to have the data that they've never had before. So it really isn't anything limiting. And there's a lot of ways we can work with people. So I would encourage any brand that wants to, you know, get involved, even if they have an idea, wow, I heard about this, but like, I have this specific query or question that I want to ask, you know what, reach out. The worst scenario is it's not something that we can do today. The best is, yeah, we'd love to work with you and get started and work on, you know, helping you with, you know, solving your, you know, issues or problems or interest in what you're looking for and giving you some validation. So, you know, very, very welcome to people that want to get engaged as soon as possible. So look forward to it.
Cool. Thank you, Eric. So yeah, if there's anyone out there, you know, do as Eric says, if you want to know how the way of seeing fashion trends changes today and how you can use N-Style to just have more insights, reduce waste, reduce inventory, increase sales, obviously, right? And margin, that's always what every organization also wants to do. You know, then reach
Absolutely.
Out directly to Eric and anyone at N-Style, or let us know at Key Value. We're going to forward you and help you obviously to facilitate your conversation with Eric and his team. So Eric, thank you very much. This was very exciting. It's a totally new thing in the market. It's a game changer. You know, I'm very excited also to learn more about it and kind of see this whole thing growing. Yeah, and the audience. So if you like this episode of the Retail Technology Podcast by Key Value, you know, feel free to like us, feel free to follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on YouTube. We are excited to have you as our audience. And stay tuned for the next episode. So thank you. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, everyone that listened to us. And have a great day.
Thanks, Christoph. Speak soon.